Hey guys.
Hi everyone.
I'm Tiffany Olson Pelton.
I'm Hannah Wakefield.
This is I'm the Devil.
I'm the Devil podcast. What sex unique thing happened to you this week?
You don't even know. Well, I broke my arm, and you know that if you're on the Patreon, honestly, I've had a because of the broken arm, feel like I've been having a pretty sexless week.
Right, totally. Well, you went on a date.
I did go on a date. So there's that, but I'm not really going to tell you guys the details. Sorry.
Totally fine.
I went on a date and I broke my arm. Now I have to go to the doctor about it.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. I had a hard, there were some hard days this week.
You faced some hardships.
I did face some hardships, mostly like trying to go to the doctor, and they were like, we just scheduled you with the wrong doctor. Go home.
But after some waiting, of course.
After I took an hour long train there, and then I waited there for an hour, and then they called me in an hour after my appointment was supposed to be, and they were like, you can just leave. So wait, why didn't you tell me that before?
Was it at the place where you, like, where was the doctor?
It was like deep as fuck in Brooklyn.
Oh.
Honestly, like past Sunset Park.
Like near like where in, like, that Bay, urgent
like,
care
near,
was?
Like Bay Ridge. No.
Oh, Bay Ridge.
Like a different part of Brooklyn. And so it took me long as fuck to get there. And I was like so hungry because I was like, didn't really like eat enough breakfast, obviously. And then I had to wait an hour after I got there, even though my appointment was supposed to be when I got there. And then they told me to leave and go home. So I kind of was like, wow, I just wasted 3 hours. And then I had to spend like 2 hours on the phone trying to get them to set up a new appointment for me. They told me to call a woman who would be able to see me. I call her. She don't have availability till January of 2026. Then they make another appointment for me. And I keep having to call this like fucking referral center because it literally is like they like handle all of it, even though like it's not good for them to handle all of it. And so like, they kept fucking up. And so then like the referral center was like, okay, we can make you, that's when I was like, my appointment's on Thursday. They made me an appointment for Thursday, and I was like, can you guys just like call and check to make sure that that person actually specializes in like the fracture that I have, because you said that last time, and then I end up wasting like 3 hours. And then they were like, they don't. And so I'm like, okay, your database is just like fucked up, obviously. And so then finally they somehow, the woman who doesn't have availability till January could get me in this week. So I'm going there in about an hour and 15 minutes. And she does specialize in the thing I need her to specialize in, allegedly.
Phew. Well, we'll see. Yeah. But fingers crossed.
It's just literally crazy.
I know. I mean, it's like a circus.
And I was like, sorry that I'm like having such a cold attitude to like a bunch of different healthcare workers, but today, but you guys really put me through it. The nurse coming in and being like, I don't know what happened. Like, sorry. On behalf of NYU, like, I'm so sorry.
On behalf of NYU.
I was literally just like, okay, why have I been here for an hour then?
Yeah.
Anyway, now it'll be fixed or something.
It'll be fixed. It will be
fixed, but
I believe that they will do something to help the process of fixing it today.
I pray to God. And I just realized like a couple days ago, I was like, you know what? I need to actually just completely reverse all of the furniture in my living room to be the opposite way. And so now I have to find people to do that for me.
And why?
It's kind of boring to explain, but like, it's like same as here where like there's more space over there.
Oh yeah.
And so like the table should go basically where your table is.
Yeah.
The way it's set up right now is if the table was to go there, it would be a wooden dresser and a wooden cabinet on the same wall, which would just look fucking weird, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I need to switch everything around.
Ugh, damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it. Well, people will come over on Sunday. I can't. I have work all day.
Yeah.
But somebody will. Someone will show up.
Maybe. Anyway, what sexy unique thing happened to you this week?
I don't know, dude. I don't even know what I did this week.
I know. It's like a blackout. Like,
yeah, like I can't
like
remember.
We're like being thrust into winter in like a honestly violent way.
It turned winter just on the flip of a switch.
Like literally on Tuesday or like Monday, actually, it turned winter.
I guess the sexy unique thing that happened to me was that I woke up for work and I thought it was going to be 65 degrees again, as it had been on that Saturday, and it was Tuesday. And I checked the weather app and it was feels like 16.
I know, it's been really cold.
Feels like 16.
Feels like 16 is crazy.
Is so, so crazy. That is like, wow, I couldn't believe it. And then there were little snow flurries. So I guess there's that.
Well, you bought your heat tech, which is kind of sexy.
I bought heat tech. First time I've ever had heat tech.
I'm wearing mine right now.
Get to retire my Lululemons.
Literally, it's going to be so awesome.
Those are not even mine. I took them from my friend Jordan's mom, Paula, my freshman year of high school because she moved away to Denver sophomore year.
Yeah.
So they are an adult woman's Lululemon leggings and they are 15 years old.
Well, I mean, those things do last forever. Yeah. I have Lululemon leggings that I've had for literally like a decade.
They're just like thick and the crotch is low. So they make jeans really uncomfortable.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's way better to have like actual like long johns.
Yeah.
So.
But I got that and I got 4 pairs of socks because it was 4 pairs for $12.90.
Woohoo. Where'd you order from?
I went into Uniqlo.
Oh, awesome, awesome.
And I've never actually bought anything from Uniqlo ever before. I was with Leisha and they were like, you're going to love the checkout. You know about the checkout?
I've never bought anything from Uniqlo either.
You just drop all your shit into this bin and then it uses special technology to know exactly what items you have.
Period.
It was crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was insane. I was like, this is the future. But I like checking out with the cashier, so I was like, this is the future and I'm scared.
I went... This is the future and they're taking away our jobs.
Literally.
I went to Trader Joe's like the second time in New York, basically on Sunday.
Jelly.
With Chloe because I had to get a bunch of frozen food because I can't cook with my arm.
I love their frozen food.
It's good. I made one thing last night that I didn't like, but it wasn't the fault of food. It was just that it was like too heavy. I just made like orange chicken and I was like, wait, I actually don't want something fried, but it was already cooking in the pan.
I do love that stuff.
No, I've... It's one of my favorite foods. I would have loved it under other circumstances, but I was just like, wait, I don't want
too much
this.
Too much.
Yeah, especially because I've just like haven't really been eating, like I've just been eating like frozen food basically and like food out, which is tasty, but at a point does begin to grate on me.
Right.
What was I saying? Oh, they had just had, it literally was so busy, they had 32 cashiers working.
It's so crazy that they even have the staff for that.
I know. 32.
It's like unreal.
And it's like a pretty small store.
Yeah.
And there's 32 cashiers working.
All of the New York Trader Joe's are small.
Yeah.
And there's 32 cashiers.
Literally unbelievable.
It's so crazy. I go to my Trader Joe's in Ohio and it's like 4 cashiers and the store is like 6 times the size.
Yeah.
But I love it there.
Yeah.
I like the peppermint JoJo's. Yeah. I love those. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I got Dunkers.
Oh, cute.
I'm familiar with the snacks because like I know people who get them. I just like never go myself because I never live near one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like pretty much like, why the fuck would I take my groceries on the train?
Of course. Dude, I hate.
I mean, going grocery shopping is not my favorite chore. So it's like, why would I extend it by like taking the train there?
You know how I used to grocery shop when I lived in Bushwick?
What?
I would take the J to Delancey and then I would go to that Trader Joe's.
That's crazy.
I'd go into the city and then have to come back into Brooklyn with my groceries.
Sounds awful.
Or sometimes Cal would drive us to the Trader Joe's in Queens, but not often.
Not often.
Not often.
Not often enough. Shall we get the party started?
Yeah, let's get into the episode.
Okay. Okay, guys. It's Happily Never After.
What an evil name for this episode. So rude.
It is rude. It's season 4, episode 4 of Vanderpump Rules, Angel Numbers.
Oh my God. Angel Numbers, Happily Never After.
It's a good sign. Okay, so we start with Sheena and Katie hanging out. Oh my God, I forgot that I tried the first half of this. I just like did it while I was high. And it just took me forever.
Sure it did. Pausing after every sentence.
But it was the day that I had that horrible experience at the doctor's. And I was like, I have to do some of this. But if I'm not high, I'm going to fucking kill myself. So I literally was like, while I was doing it, I was like, I don't even care that this is taking me like legitimately 4 to 6 times as long as it normally would. It feels better than if I wasn't high.
I feel like if I was high and trying to
never
do this,
done
I'd
it
be
before.
Pausing at every sentence to write down every, I'd be like transcribing
well,
the show.
Well, then I actually end up, that's what I was doing at the beginning. And so then I had to work really hard to be more discerning. So yeah. I shortened it a little bit actually,
yeah.
But I'm like, we'll see what's in here. Yeah. So Sheena and Katie are hanging out because Katie is doing a photo shoot with Sheena for her amazing online blog called Pucker and Pout. That is basically about like accessories and hair stuff.
Pucker and Pout.
The like photos from it are so funny. It's like her in profile.
Pout.
And she's wearing a gold crown as a headband. Mm-hmm. It literally like looks like a costume. Like,
I know.
From like, it looks like it's from like Spirit Halloween, basically.
It looks so, I mean, hair is just not really her thing.
No, but it's funny because she's saying that it is. Basically.
She says that hair is her thing though.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I don't even know. She literally is like, there's just so many fun things you can do with accessories like bobby pins.
Yeah,
and
she...
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
She's like, we're going to show people how to do amazing hairstyles with stuff like bobby pins.
And it's like, girl, you can't do that much with a bobby pin.
And let's not like reinvent the wheel here. Like, people know how to use a bobby pin already.
But she literally meant like more stylistically. And then Sheena's modeling and she's basically like, okay, well, I would love to do some modeling that is kind of like non-smiling and looking away because I'm actually in a terrible mood because of the fact that I haven't spoken to my husband in days.
Yeah, she says I'm not in the chipperest mood.
Yeah.
Chipperest.
Schwartz comes in and explains that he can give them pointers because he graduated from the Sandoval School of Modeling, obviously.
He like runs in and flops on the bed and it's like, get out. Your girlfriend is doing her pucker and pout shoot.
I know. And Sheena then like recaps her conversation with Lisa last night about Shay's addiction. And Schwartz is kind of like, everyone's vibe this episode is like, I literally can't believe I'm just learning about this now.
I know. Well, they all knew that he took pills, but they didn't think it was a problem.
Well, that's like what's so funny is they're like, it's literally them being like, wow, I can't believe I know an addict. And it's like,
I know.
You guys are all addicts.
You're like, all addicts. Literally. I know. Well, it's because like, to them, they're like,
Jax? I'm like, it's so crazy.
They're like, well, but we all take the pills.
I know.
We're not addicts.
I know, literally.
At one point, Schwartz will say something like, we're in our 30s. We can't do what we used to do in our 20s. And it's like, well, a pill addict is a pill addict no matter if you're in your 20s or your 30s. So.
Like, yeah, it is like, it's actually also not great to be taking 5 to 10 pills a day when you're in your 20s.
Yeah. Like, huh?
Okay. Yeah, he's acting like it's like a hangover.
Yeah.
Okay, but in the talking head, yeah, he's like, it's just so crazy because Shay is this like happy-go-lucky guy. And I'm like, I would not describe his attitude as happy-go-lucky.
Like, are you kidding?
And then Sheena, of course, begins to cry. And Katie's like, please don't do that because you look so beautiful and I have to take photos of you. And the photographers come in and they're like, it's like a photographer and one other girl who come in and they're like, you look like a goddess to Sheena. And she's like, thanks. I wish I felt like
I felt like it. She can't stop being like,
I know.
I'm really like, I just so you guys know, I'm really not happy today.
I know. She keeps being like, sorry, I'm in a weird mood. And like, nobody says
a word.
They say, because she's wearing her like headband around like as like a strap or whatever, they're like, it's so Game of Thrones inspired. I love it.
Yeah, because they're doing stuff with like chains right now.
Game of Thrones inspired.
Katie is like, you think you can only wear hair chains to a festival, but you can wear them to a night out as well.
I know. Hair chains, something that I've like basically never heard of. Once again, Sheena is just like, I really wish I could be here for Katie and her blog like emotionally, but I just can't because my marriage is completely crumbling. Yeah. And then she like apologizes for not being in her normal like amazing mood.
Yeah, her perky peppy mood.
Oh my god, girl.
Everybody's like, you're not supposed to be talking anyways, girl. So I know. She's taking pictures of you, so shut it.
And it's like two girls who don't know her. She's like, sorry, I'm acting so strange.
Okay. All right. Okay, so now we are at Sir.
Oh god.
Lala is at the host stand and Jax walks up to her and goes like, what's going on, kiddo? Don't call her kiddo. He's hyper focused on the fact that she's hot and blonde, but also that she's young.
I know.
He loves that about her.
And it's like, is she even like younger than Brittany?
No, I don't think so. But he doesn't think about Brittany when Lala's there.
I know, but it's just so crazy for him to be like, she's so young. It's like, well, everyone you date is young.
Everyone you date is like, Gustasi was very young.
Yeah.
But now she's old, hag to him. So he asks her how's it's going and if there's any males in the equation. Which is like such a psychotic thing open with.
Yeah, he's like, any males in the equation? And she's like, what? And he's like, are you dating? And she's like, no.
No. And then he was like, so what? It's because you're Mormon? I heard people were saying that you were Mormon. And she was like, what? No, I'm just from Utah. And he was like, oh, so there's like a lot of, you're from a heavy Mormon area.
He's like, you're Mormon or you come from an area of many Mormons. Yeah. I'm like, brother, shut the fuck up.
Chill with it. And she's like, yeah, there's a lot of Mormons around. And he was like, I heard this little rumor about Mormons. If this is inappropriate, I'm sorry. But a lot of girls, they don't have sex before marriage or they try to save themselves. So they're really into anal. Is that true?
It's like, so you know that that's inappropriate to say.
You know,
sorry,
that's
if this
not
is
right.
Inappropriate. And then asking someone about like literally if they do anal.
Yeah, I know. So stop me if I'm being weird. Do you like it up the ass? But obviously Lala is game. She's always game. She's a crazy girl. She's a guy's girl. She says, yeah, they love anal and they give killer blowjobs. And it's like, okay. All right. Let's not engage with each other in this way at work.
I know.
I don't like it.
They won't stop.
He was like, I should be hanging out with more Mormons. And she was like, no, like, I'll be your Utah chick. And then he says, did you write down what he said? It made me laugh so much.
Yes.
He goes, wow, that's interesting. Do you know the kind of things I get into?
Does he just mean like cheating on his girlfriend? Yeah, he literally was like, do you mean anal or do you mean cheating on your girlfriend?
He means both. He means both.
Well, that's interesting. You know the kind of things that I get into? Like, what?
What do you mean by that? Oh, my God.
He's so crazy. Literally talking like a criminal.
I know.
Trying to, like, get someone in on their crime with
them. Yeah, he's, like, sussing out if, like, they're going to rat. He doesn't really get to finish, or she doesn't get to answer because Lisa approaches and shoos him back away to the bar. She's like, get out of here. Why are you talking to her?
She's like, what the actual fuck are you doing?
Well, because he is like sweaty Wolverine style, like leaning over the host stand being like, you know the kind of stuff I get into?
I know. Well, she's like, are you working tonight? And he's like, I'm actually working right now. And she's like, okay, so why are you here then? Yeah.
And then Lisa goes up to him at the bar and is like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And don't you love Miss Lingerie? Which is a point that Lisa will never get over. She's always going to harp on the fact that
it's legit so crazy given like the things that she makes those girls wear.
I know. No.
It's literally insane.
That Britney was wearing a romper that's like really inappropriate to her, even though she puts them in
it's like backless, assless
like slips of paper.
Also, like, bitch, your pink bra is showing.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
Mind you.
She's like, aren't you in love with Britney? And Jax is like, what? I don't know. And then there's like a flashback to Britney asking Jax if Lisa liked her. It just made me laugh because Britney is being like, do you think Lisa liked me? And Jax is going, yeah. Yeah, I think she really liked you. Yeah.
She did not like her at all.
She didn't like her even one bit.
No.
And then Jax tells Lisa that Britney's coming to town soon and reminds her that she really, really, really needs a job. And Lisa is like, okay, I actually did like her, so we'll see about the job.
But she's also like, let's just see if you guys date for more than 90 days.
Well, that's been the whole thing.
Okay, then we're at Toca Madera.
Then we're at Toca Madera. It's
basically a link up. Jax, James and Peter link up and Jax is like, you know, like, as much as I like hate James and he's like so fucking annoying and I want to murder him, he actually is really fun to bring out because he does basically like the most insane shit you could possibly imagine and acts like in ways that are completely inappropriate.
Of course. Okay. Of course. Well, it does like take a little bit of heat off of Jax.
He's like, he reminds me of me at that age. Drunk, a whore, out all the time. And then he's like, wait, that's me right now.
That's
as well.
Me right now.
And then Sandoval shows up. I'm like, the fact that they're all friends is so funny.
I know. They're with having boys James. Night.
It's just so funny that they're friends with James.
It's insane, I know. Obviously. And it's like, I don't know. I guess they're kind of forced by the show to invite him. But Sandoval does love him.
They're all saying that they love hanging out with him.
I know. It's so crazy. He seems awful to hang out with as well.
They say that later too.
Yep.
They ask him about Kristen and he's like, yes, I mean, she definitely doesn't love that we're here. And then we learn that they've broken up 8 times, which is literally like once a month.
Yeah. No, they've broken up 8 times in the past month. Okay. No. Yes. Tom Sandoval is like, I'm sure you guys have been breaking up and getting back together. And James goes, yeah, like 20 times in the past month. And Tom is like, oh my God. And James goes, no, not 20, 8. Yeah, I think 8. 8 is so many fucking times I've broken up in 4 weeks.
Oh my God. I thought that it was the whole time they've been together.
No. It's because they're fighting. All they do is fight. I'm sure they break up literally every day.
I know. It is just like at that point, like, what is your relationship? Like, it's literally like, what is your relationship?
It's nothing. You don't have a relationship.
No. Oh my God.
You have an enemy that sometimes shows up to your apartment.
Yes. Then we learn that they're starting therapy tomorrow. Sandoval's like, that's kind of fast for you guys to be in therapy, huh?
Yeah.
Then they start talking about the sangria that Lisa is selling, and I legit don't care, though we will get into that later.
I mean, it's just, this is the plot line where we learn that the boys are like stupider than we could have ever imagined.
Yes. It is funny later, but right now I'm like, I legit don't care. And so then Jax asks about Lala, and James is like, Lala is like that pretty hot girl that wants to be a slut but won't admit she's a slut, but really she's a huge slut.
It was so jarring to me the way that they're using the word slut so earnestly.
It's literally crazy.
It's crazy. He's screaming slut about a girl that they know.
I know.
And she hasn't had sex with any of them.
No. And it's just, of course, the hypocrisy of it all, where it's like, of course. So literally all of you are trying to have sex with her and you guys are like fucking freak ass horn dogs.
Yep.
But she's the slut.
She's the slut. She's the slut. She's single. She hasn't dated in 3 years. You guys are constantly cheating on your girlfriends.
Literally. And then this is the part where in the talking head, Sandoval is like, damn, like James is getting drunk, which means he's getting really red. His face is turning completely red. His arms are flailing and he invades your personal space. And also he dominates every single conversation.
Yep. Well, he is like screaming and thrashing.
Yeah. And he's like, Sandoval. He's literally like, Sandoval, listen to this. Like,
it's like, I know.
Being drunk with him, I would legit be like, oh my God, it would like piss. I mean, I would probably do something like violent and illegal to him because it would piss me off too bad being with him.
I know. And he's the kind of guy who's constantly screaming like, I'm getting drunk, mate. It's so annoying. It's so fucking annoying. I can't imagine going out with that guy.
I know, because after the La La monologue, he's like, oops, I'm a little tipsy. It's like, okay.
Okay, we know.
Oh my God.
We can tell. I know. I love this scene.
I know.
We're at Kristen's apartment and James is asleep on the couch while Kristen is making breakfast.
This is literally crazy. Mommy.
She's making like a nice breakfast. She's like some
an
kind
omelet
of,
or something.
Yeah, like, she's like cracking an egg into one of those molds in a pan so that it's a nice shape.
Okay, she's making them like sweet little breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah, she is. And then she goes, James, are you going to wake up?
Though I would fucking kill him.
Me too. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's so annoying. So he's sleeping on her couch. He rolls up. He
rubs
his eyes.
Take your chance now while he's asleep. Fucking like actually shoot him through the fucking front of the head and look at him while he dies.
I know. He goes,
oh my God.
What are you doing? And she was like, I'm making breakfast. And he goes, I don't want breakfast, Kristen. You're at her house asleep on her couch. She's making you breakfast. Cut it with the attitude, bitch.
I actually can't believe. And I'm also like, okay, then don't fucking have it.
Don't eat it. Don't eat it.
Why are you complaining that she's making you like a nice breakfast?
Yeah, she's also making breakfast for herself. Like, so it's like, okay.
I'm cooking this regardless.
And also, you're in my living room that's attached to my kitchen. Sorry.
Yeah, why the fuck are you here?
Go to the fucking bedroom if you want to sleep. What's your problem? Oh my God. So they immediately start fighting about how James got really hammered last night. And he was like, well, the shots just kept coming, love. All right.
She said, why did you get so hammered? He said, guess it's because the shots just kept coming. Fuck off.
Shut the fuck up.
And someone had to order those, huh?
Yeah. Somebody had to ask for those. They don't just give you shots at the bar like that.
Not you.
Not you. They definitely are like cutting
girl.
You off.
Yeah, literally.
They're taking the shots away from you.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, how do you feel about that today, huh? And he's like, well, I'm a little hungover, Kristen. Okay. He's like, down fucking bad.
He says it's the worst day of his life.
Well, yeah. Then he goes, what are you doing today, Kristen? Like, I guess trying to be nice, but it's so fucking annoying. And she goes, what am I doing today? We have fucking couples therapy. We're doing something together.
No.
And then in his talking head, he goes, I've honestly been awake for 38 seconds and this is already the worst day of my life.
You woke up hungover at your girlfriend's house and she's making you breakfast. Yeah. She's making you like a homemade breakfast sandwich.
You chose to pick a fight with her. Be a total bitch and forget that you two had plans today. That is all on you, buddy.
Oh my god.
So then they go to couples therapy because also they have couples therapy like in the morning. It's like, you know, the reason you're at her house and sleep on her couch is because you guys have plans together in the morning, whatever. Kristen is like, I've been going to therapy on my own for 9 months and it's done volumes for me.
Of course.
I'm excited for this. They show up, they're sitting on the couch.
The way that, like, if you were Kristen, it is like therapy would legitimately change your life in ways that I can't even possibly imagine.
Entirely and completely transform your being.
Because every single way that you think is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Literally.
And you're, like, riddled with, like, misfirings and, like...
That's what I'm
and,
saying. Like, your brain is legit wired so wrong.
Yes. She needs, like... The way that medication would just, like, completely transform everything for her.
Oh, my God. I know.
So they sit down on the couch... Kristen opens with the fact that she's a little bit upset with him right now. And James is like, what the fuck? And she's like,
being so fucking rude.
Well, she's like, I'm uncomfortable because he is still tipsy.
They keep using the word tipsy when they mean legit, like, so, like drunk.
Oh my God. It's the way I'd be so fucking mad if I had couples
like
therapy.
Appropriate for them to have gone to couples therapy while he was in that state.
No, but. Obviously not. He's being extremely combative.
He is literally being a fucking jackass.
And she's being good. Like, she's being gentle with it. She's like, I feel uncomfortable because he's still tipsy.
Yeah, she literally is acting the way that is, like, appropriate to act in therapy.
Yes. And he goes, get over it, Kristen. I went out with the boys and I got fucking drunk. Get over it. Why are you coming in so hot?
It's so crazy to be acting that way in front of the therapist.
And the tone he is using is vile.
I know.
It's so rude.
Yes. Well, it's like just straight up abusive.
Yes. Right in front of the therapist, like she's sitting right there.
I know. Being that woman.
I mean, I would just have to pull Kristen aside after and be like, you gotta cut it.
It's like,
this is over.
I don't even know where we go from here.
You shouldn't be in therapy. You just shouldn't be together. Kristen says that when he gets hammered, he goes from 0 to 4,000 and she feels that he uses his drinking as an excuse to be really mean to her.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
true.
100% true. And then she's like, if I did half the stuff that he did to me while I was drunk, he would freak the fuck out. Like, he would lose his fucking mind, such as cheating on me with all my friends.
He would, like, actually kill her.
Yeah. And then James is, aww. James says that the reason that he does that is because Kristen has hurt him so much that when they fight, he just wants to hurt her back. And there's a lot of things that he's still not over, such as people she's had sex with.
Okay.
Okay. So, you didn't know her.
I know.
It made me so mad. She's like, can you please be specific? And he goes, yeah, Jackson Tom. You didn't know her. You weren't together. You can be upset about the fact that she pined over Tom Sandoval for the first year of your relationship, but you cannot be upset that they had sex before you knew each other.
And it's like him saying that those are the things that she's done to hurt him. It's like, so those didn't even happen when you were together. So
I don't think that he genuinely cares about that also. Like, I think he's just using that as an excuse to be like an insane misogynist and like a crazy abusive guy to her.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't think that it's keeping him up at night, the idea that she's had sex with Tom and Jax.
I know, because when he hangs out with them, it just seems like he doesn't care at all.
He doesn't care in the slightest. And he likes to talk shit about Kristen with them. So it actually, I feel like he probably appreciates that he has like a common ground with them.
Yeah.
He is such an asshole.
It's crazy.
Kristen then says that she makes a pretty concerted effort to tell him that she's proud of him and that she like supports him. And he responds,
she's like, he's like, I really try to tell you that you're like smart and gorgeous and like the most like talented man in the universe. And
I'm
like,
I know. It's like
him.
Don't be telling guys like that. Things like that.
No.
And then he responds by saying that she tries to parent him, which
it's true,
but he needs a fucking parent.
Yeah. It's I mean, yes,
you can't be in a relationship with that guy without trying to parent him or else.
No, of course.
He'll kill you. Like,
unless you want to die, bitch.
there's no other route. And then she says that he never takes accountability for his actions, and he does like a snort and rolls his eyes and calls her fucking delusional.
I know. And then he's like, sorry, I feel like you're delusional.
Yeah, because the therapist is like, so that kind of language is really disrespectful. And he was like, yeah, okay, then I feel like you're fucking delusional. Oh, and my she's god,
like, that actually doesn't change kind of like the feeling of that,
the sentiment the, behind yeah. your words. Yeah, yeah. And also, you're still saying the word fucking, so it's like, let's not.
And delusional.
And delusional. And then the therapist tells him to stop with the name calling, and he immediately calls Kristen a fucking bitch. That's so crazy. Don't call her a fucking bitch at all.
I know, but saying it in front of the therapist is literally insane.
In front of the therapist?
It's so crazy.
Screaming at your girlfriend, calling her a fucking bitch?
I just, like, actually can't even imagine being that therapist. It's so crazy. I kept being like, holy shit, and she's there.
I know, and she's there. And it makes me so sad and nervous for the kind of fights that they get in when there's not a third party present.
I know.
It's so awful. And then again, the therapist is like, okay, so that kind of language is really, really not respectful. And then she says to them, like, do you guys want to put in the work on this relationship? Because this is going to take like a lot of work. Is that the kind of thing you're willing to do? And Kristen is like, to be honest, I don't even know like
if it's possible.
I don't even know if it's possible.
She literally says like, I want to, but I legit don't know if it's possible.
It is impossible. She's spot on with that. There's no way he's going to be able to put in the kind of work that would be needed to save that relationship. He would have to entirely transform his being.
Well, and it is like the thing, like, also, I think the truth is that it's like there just has simply been too much damage done.
Oh, yeah. 100%. It's fractured beyond repair.
Yeah.
It's shattered into a million pieces.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's possible. I don't think it is.
That's that.
James says that therapy is not helping at all.
Of course. I mean, I hope they never go back. I hope they just break up.
Okay. So then we're at Sadie for a triple date.
It's couples night now.
So we're with Tom and Ariana and Katie and then Peter and his new girlfriend. What is her name?
Don't know. Kept having the right girlfriend.
Me too. I couldn't find it back.
Me neither.
I hope that you had it. But we don't. So there's a lady there.
She's not super crucial.
No. Katie congratulates them on being officially BFGF. And Peter says that it's a huge relief to him to finally have a girlfriend.
Yeah, he's been showing up stag to everything for years.
Which is so funny.
Also, Schwartz at the top of the scene calls appetizers appies.
Oh, yeah. They're like, let's get some appies. We then learn that his girlfriend has a 4-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks, like, the couples, like, at the table, so, like, what do you guys think about marriage and kids? Which is crazy.
Crazy. They made her say that, though.
Yeah, and Schwartz is, like, basically doing a, like, cut it out motion with his hands. Yeah. Like, you just bought a ring, bitch.
Yeah,
so
come on.
Stop with the fucking act. Sandoval says he's always thought of marriage as something very far off, but now because of Ariana, he says, quote, dude, if you, I can see, I would fucking marry you. Just saying. And she
just saying.
Does not want to be married.
She's
like, nice. And then she like eats her pasta with like a blurg face that was like annoying to me. Because I just like really don't. I'm sorry. I just don't find her funny. And then when she tries to be funny, it annoys me.
I know. Of course. She says, yeah, that's really nice. And then she makes like a scared face. And then she takes a big bite of pasta.
Yeah.
And it is like, I see you trying to do improv comedy.
Yeah. It's just, it is just giving like she's in a sketch class and it is pissing me off and I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I mean, it's not funny. It's like only cringe.
Yeah, it is cringe. She explains, like Ariana explains that she's known since she was 5 years old that she doesn't want to be married or have a kid, which is something that's so funny to think like I knew that at 5 years old.
It's like you didn't, but that's so fine.
I know.
If you don't want to get married or have a kid, that's totally acceptable. Yeah. But you did not know that when you were five. You weren't thinking about it.
No. And Tom is like, there's a bit of like a will we or won't we battle going on. And it's like, no, there's not. You're not getting married.
He says there's a subtle battle of wills. She is saying no with her
like,
words.
And it's like, even if I'm not even saying this, like y'all are going to break up. Like even if they had stayed together, like they're not getting married.
No.
She just doesn't want to and will not do it with him. Like for real. Schwartz then is like, LMAO, I love like pressure and deadlines and ultimatums. Shut the fuck
up. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
Fuck off. Oh my God.
I've had it fucking up to here with that guy.
Me too. I'm so over his bullshit.
I
know.
Then he's like, but I love her. I love Katie so much. And Katie's like, I love Schwartz so much, but he's the most annoying guy I know.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, the way that there are like hundreds of thousands of women who feel that way about their boyfriend.
I know. She was like, I love him. He's so cute. He's so fucking annoying.
And it's like, oh my God, it doesn't, you really don't and actually shouldn't feel that way about the person that you're dating.
And it's like, it's fine to like feel annoyed with your partner or whatever, but if that's like a one of the threads of your relationship, it's like why?
No, exactly. It's like, of course you're going to be annoyed with the person you're dating sometimes, but you shouldn't find them to be generally an annoying person.
Fundamentally
which is
annoying.
Like what she thinks. Yeah. And like, it just is like really hit me because I'm like, that is just such a thing that like there's girls who just like think that that's like normal and even like endearing and cute that they're like, I fucking hate my boyfriend. And it's
know.
So why are you dating him then?
Don't like, you know that there's this person that you could be with that isn't like that?
Literally.
That like, has all of the good things and not that one really bad thing that you hate?
It's so crazy. They start talking about Shay and Sheena and that whole situation. There's just like, they talk a lot about them through the episode. And Short says like basically that like they need, the two of them need to be able to communicate better. And they like once again are returning to this theme of the fact that like Sheena is like too domineering. And that's why like Shay ran away and is like addicted to pills or something.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the thread through this is that they don't think that Shay is addicted to pills or know that he's addicted to pills.
Yes.
So they think that Sheena just has been annoying the fuck out of Shay and he had to get out of town.
Yes. Yes. Like everyone is like, I just have like never seen them fight. Like, well, it's just like their standard for what is like a good relationship is so fucked up because they literally are like, well, unlike the other couples, like they're not like screaming at each other in front of us. So like they're happy. And it's like, no, like Ariana is like, well, they just both like push everything down basically and like pretend that everything's fine. They're just like, yeah, it's just like really hard when you're like depressed and like you can't stop drinking and you like don't have any money coming in. Talking about Shay.
Yeah. Sandoval says Shay is really sort of having man problems right now. Because he's not providing monetarily.
Yes. Yeah. So he like can't feel like the provider, which is like, I really don't think that's the problem.
I know. That's another thing that they keep harping on. Well, Sandoval keeps harping on.
It's so funny. It's
the
like,
fact that like Shay is being emasculated.
I'm like, did he tell you that?
No.
No, because then later it's like he hasn't even like responded to his text. So I
know.
Was like, at first I was like, did he say that? Like, why do you think that?
And no, that's just something that Sandoval is assuming.
It's like so strange.
Because he says he's quote unquote been there before. Which is certainly Kristen with Kristen.
Yeah, but it's like you guys were both making the same amount of money.
I know, but remember Kristen was paying for.
Yeah, of course.
His
but
car
it's like, you did have money coming in. You were just like taking advantage of her.
I know, you were just like, you were actually doing a scheme.
Literally. Yeah, you were like running a fucking scam on her.
Yeah.
Sandoval is like, okay, you know what? Like, they just like really need our help because Sheena has like been here for us, like been there for all of us. And like, we just really need to be there for them. And it's like, how are you going to help? But we will find out how they're going to help.
Quote unquote help. So we are back at Sir. Lala again is at the host stand. Every time we open on Sir now, it's like we open on Lala at the host stand. And James is at his DJ booth, which is very conveniently right behind the host stand.
Yep.
Lala approaches him and goes, hi, mister.
Oh, my God.
Ew. Hi, mister.
Her voice that she puts on is so funny.
Her baby voice. And then she's like, oh, you're DJing tonight? And he's like, yeah, I was going to bus, but like I was going to be a busser tonight. But now Lisa says I can DJ. And she goes, you are so much sexier as a DJ than a busser, which is just so crazy to say about that guy. He's never sexy. He's never been sexy.
No.
He looks like a cartoon. He looks like Flapjack the cartoon. Do you know that cartoon?
No, but he looks like fucking Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah. He does. And then
he legit looks like a character from Flushed Away.
Yes. He looks like one of the rats. James then.
He is like those, the fungus in the Princess Fairy, the Barbie Fairytopia movies that we've been watching.
Ew. I hate those guys.
I know.
The fungi.
Yeah, the fungi.
Ew, ew. I hate those guys so much. They are so nasty. They're like little goblins. This is just a scene of them like flirting in a really crazy way.
It's literally disgusting.
It's so gross. It's revolting. James asks her if she sings and he's petting her head and like grabbing her by the neck.
It made me feel sick to my stomach.
They're doing a lot of physical touch on each other.
I know, because they also hug hello in a way that is like so inappropriate.
Yeah. He keeps calling her darling. He says she's so pretty. He says he could make her sound fucking amazing if they like recorded a
fucking
song together.
Gorgeous. Sorry, TW. Not even amazing. He's like, I bet I could make you sound fucking gorgeous.
Ew. And she's just like loving it. She's like eating it up. And then in the talking head,
it's just so gross. Like,
if that behavior acted out towards me, it would make me so uncomfortable.
It literally is like a sex crime.
And she is just like leaning the fuck in. She is like pulling out a chair and taking a seat at the James table. It's so crazy. He's so nasty. He's touching her all over.
I know. He's literally like grabbing her neck.
Yes.
And like petting her face. I'm like, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Just, dear God, don't do that.
And then in James's talking head, he says he really wants to make it work with Kristen, but he's got that wandering eye. And he says he's going to have a lot of fun with this one and says, I don't need to spell it out, do I?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so.
Okay.
I'm going to cheat on Kristen with Lala. Sure. Okay. I don't know why you're choosing to like do a little, it would be trying to be subtle about it now. You love saying that you're going to cheat on Kristen or that you've cheated on Kristen in the talking head. If you've had sex with other women and you're lying to her.
So then we have Schwartz getting ready. Because basically Sandoval and Schwartz are going to go try to convince Lisa to let them like sell the sangria, which like they don't even, it's like, what does that mean? We don't know because they don't know.
Well, yeah, it's like early influencing is what they want to do. Because
they basically want to be Red Bull girls.
They want to be Red Bull girls. They want to be like sangria reps.
Yeah.
But it's so stupid, their plan.
I know.
It's so stupid.
No, this is actually
the crazy
scene where I was like, God, I feel like I have this burned in my memory because the first time I saw it, I was like, they are the stupidest fucking guys in the entire world.
I know. It really is so funny, though.
But he's getting ready and he calls Sandoval to be like, what are you wearing? And he says that they should dress up like as though they're going to a Lexus commercial audition.
Yeah.
Which is very odd.
It's their only point of reference.
I know.
It's like the kind of outfit you would wear to a modeling thing.
What that means is put on a button down.
Yes. Okay. How could you not figure that out on your own?
Business casual.
And how could you not figure that out on your own?
No, literally, it's like the one kind of formal thing you have is a button down as like the man that you are.
Yeah,
so just put that on.
So put that on because you're not going to be wearing a suit and you're not going to be wearing a t-shirt. No, so there's one other option.
There's literally one other option. So then we're at Villa Rosa. Like they show up there. I literally like don't even necessarily know why they showed us. No, I'm getting ready, but whatever.
I don't either. They needed to fill some time.
Yeah, I'd have
some
type of like exposition, I guess. And so they get there and Schwartz says that he feels like a peasant who's been invited into the castle. And then they go inside and they sit down at like in her like glass living room.
Yeah.
The house is like legit like a glass slipper.
It's like all windows.
I know. It's literally all windows. And she kind of like apparates like above like the staircase.
That's exactly what I wrote. She apparated.
She did apparate. And she's like, hello, boys.
She's like on a balcony. She just appears.
Literally.
Goes, hello, you guys.
Yes. And she comes down and they immediately again start talking about Shay and how he feels emasculated because Sheena pays for everything. And like, what if like she gave Shay a job at Pump? And she's like, that will not help. He needs to be clean and sober. And they're like, he is.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
It's Sandoval is literally begging in a way that's crazy.
It's crazy.
He's like, please, 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 he is clean and sober. And it's like, no, Lisa just heard from Sheena that he is taking 5 pills a day.
And like, she's like, it just doesn't seem wise to have the guy who's like an alcoholic be working at the bar.
Yeah.
Which is very true.
It is honestly sweet of them to try and get him a job.
I know.
They're trying to do what they like.
It's just so misguided. But yeah, Sandoval in particular is really trying to do what he thinks is the right thing.
Yes, exactly. But it's just like so not the right thing. It's insane. But
I know. It's crazy. Then Jason and Pandora come in and the Toms like literally think that Jason is the most like handsome guy in the world, which is so funny. He's like literally the most normal looking guy in America.
I know. It reminded me of when they freaked out over Jax's plastic surgeon. Sometimes yes. They just think a guy is so hot they cannot help themselves.
I know. I think it's also like he's like a different type of guy. Like, yes. And I'm like, it's like often when it's like an adult male blonde.
Yeah, or an adult male with a real job who makes money.
Yes.
They think is like the sexiest thing in the fucking world. They like can't
literally
get enough
so
of
funny.
It.
It's like literally like how women feel as well.
Yes.
It's like the gayest thing in the world. They're like, your buzz cut looks so good. And he's like kind of balding. Like, like I think he has to have that cut like for like utilitarian purposes. Like,
yes.
It's so strange.
And he keeps being like, okay, thank you. Like, he does not want to engage with them.
No.
No, well, he doesn't not, find like, them to be sexy.
No. Basically, Sandoval then pitches the idea of selling them the sangria. And he's like, of course, the name is amazing, which is Lisa Vanderpump Sangria.
Yeah. He goes, so weird. He goes, one of the reasons why we're here is because I think the sangria is an amazing product. And I like the fact that it's not too sweet. And obviously, the name is amazing.
Lisa Vanderpump Sangria. Like, what also, the like, fuck?
Okay. You like the fact that it's not too sweet. You know that they have like an entire like marketing department.
It's literally fucking Beavis and Butthead in here. Schwartz is like, okay, yeah, so I actually used to work in the spirits industry. What?
No, you didn't.
He means that he used to be like a cater, waiter, bartender.
Yeah, he says his background is in wine and spirits. No, it's not.
It's in holding a tray.
Yeah, and also because you tried to be a bartender for... You couldn't even make it one shift.
I know. And so then Sandoval is like, I really think I could sell this in St. Louis.
That is the gist. That is the thrust of their entire plan, is taking the sangria to St. Louis.
A smaller city than they are in right now.
My God.
They're so it's so stupid. Stupid.
And also, okay, so what's Schwartz going to do?
Literally just be there. Just be there as well. He's like, I go to St. Louis almost four times a year. Okay.
His hometown also.
Yeah, it's like, so just holidays. Yeah. You fucking idiot. It's actually crazy.
It's so stupid. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's like he goes home for like holidays, like maybe his birthday and like Mother's Day or something. It's like, what are you talking about?
Look at her house. Look around. Look at where you are. You think that if she wanted to tap the St. Louis market, she needs you to do it?
Well, also, okay, so like he explains that like they're also obviously playing the like clown music because like this is like legit clownery.
Yeah.
And Sandoval explains that like when he's in St. Louis, he would, the things that he could, for example, do to like help get the word out there is like he would order the LVP sangria, and then naturally people would be asking him, what is that? And he would explain that, you know, it's Lisa Vanderpump Sangria, and then people would start talking about it.
Yeah.
So that is like literally their plan, which also, as you're saying, like they have an entire marketing team. They're literally also talking about doing like B2B. Like they're talking about selling like pallets of the sangria to like restaurants and bars and like liquor stores. They're not talking about like boots on the ground, like essentially just like influencer marketing or like legit being like straight up Red Bull girls with the backpack.
They just do not need that. No. They just do not need that. It's at like all. Well, at all, in any sense. If it's
in the store, people will buy it.
And I know.
You guys don't have... You're not like, oh, they're so stupid. It's just crazy.
He says at one point too, like, it's not about getting it in the store. It's about getting people to drink it once it's in the store. No, girl. It's about getting it in the store.
That's also, at least step one. And like, also what you're talking about is like, it's not a job what you're talking about.
No. And also you are going to quote unquote influence maximum, if I'm being extremely generous, 30 people
literally
to buy a glass of LVP sangria. Yes, and guess what, it doesn't taste very good, so I don't think they're gonna be buying more than one.
No.
And also nobody drinks sangria at the fucking bar.
I know, people would be like, what is that?
Yeah, like why are you got a glass of red wine, Tom Sandoval?
And then Pandora is like, so you have to think larger than just St. Louis. Like Jason, like they're like, Jason was just like in Rome and Miami and London, and we have a meeting with like a 3,000 store chain in Australia.
Yeah.
So like what you're saying is literally like makes no sense, and like certainly not something we would pay you for.
No.
Like it's like that's not a job. Like that is not like a sales job.
No, that's not sales. It's not even sales.
No, it's being a Red Bull girl.
Yeah, it's being, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's not even being a rep. Like it's not even at the level of being a rep for the company.
No. And then trying to say like we would go on a business trip to do that, it's no. And they're like, oh, okay, that's like different than what we thought, basically. Yep. Which is like literally, it's like Lisa is a businesswoman.
Yes.
It's just so crazy because it does seem like literally it's like you think like this must be scripted, like they must start be doing this on purpose because of how stupid it is, but they like,
but they're not, they're that stupid. But it is like Lisa, Ken, Jason, and Pandora are all key members of literally a global business kind of empire. She has a million restaurants.
Literally, she has 1 million restaurants.
She's a very famous public figure. Why would you ever in a million years think that she would need you to do that?
To take it to St. Louis.
To take it to St. Louis.
St. Louis.
And they didn't even pitch any other cities. They only pitched St. Louis.
Well, that's the only place that they know people. Yeah. So they can't. They can go to what? Like Schwartz's Podunk Town in Florida, no offense.
Yeah.
And it's like there's like 15 people who live there.
I know. And it's like, okay, they could go to Miami. And it's like, okay, so it's already in Miami.
It's in Miami. Pandy's like, okay, so like, first of all, if we even were to have you guys have a job, Schwartz, you can't have a panic attack while you're doing it. And basically you guys need to like go away and think of an actual business plan that you could bring to us, because this makes no fucking sense what you're saying.
Yeah.
You have like, it just makes no sense. And to have like have a meeting to talk about this is insane.
They took like a pity meeting with two children.
Literally. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. She says, she says, why don't you take some time to think about it? And Sandoval goes, yeah, we do need some time to think about it. And it's like, well, you shouldn't be weighing your options over in your head.
No. You'd be thinking about something completely different that you could do.
You need to be inventing something new.
So crazy.
Oh, and when they leave, Schwartz says he's disappointed that they're walking out with homework assignment rather than six-figure salaries.
A six-figure salary for going to St. Louis and trying to get your friends that you know to drink sangria.
For drinking in St. Louis also. It's like you would just be partying.
Yeah. A six-figure salary for going to St. Louis four times a year. Yeah. Right. Okay. Sure.
Oh my God. Now we're at Sheena's house.
Yeah.
Oh, we're at Sheena's house. Sheena's in there putzing around in a little pink dress. Katie and Tom show up. Tom says, hey, mama, what's up, mama?
I know. Hey, mama, what's up, mama? Girl, not right now.
Sheena tells...
I'm calling her mama. Sorry, it's literally so funny.
He loves saying mama. He literally loves... He was like way ahead of the curve with that one. Sheena says that she and Shay both talked and they decided that more time apart is not an option.
Yes.
So he will be coming back right now to have a sort of intervention style conversation.
But no.
But no, no, not quite.
No, it looks like an intervention.
It looks like it could be an intervention.
But that's not what's going on.
But no. Then Tom and Ariana arrive.
She says that they do better in conversation with a buffer. And by buffer, she means four of their friends. Her friends, mostly.
Yep. She says that she wanted everyone to be there because she thought that having them there would make him more comfortable, because he's more comfortable talking in a group than one-on-one.
With his wife.
With his wife. What? Why would you say that out loud?
About like really personal things.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that? And then Ariana says, yeah, it is very strange that Sheena and Shay wanted us all here, but if they want us here, we'll be here. So yes.
It's literally very, very strange.
It is a private conversation that you should be having off camera with nobody else.
Or if you want someone else there, a therapist mediator.
Yes. Yes.
Not four of your fucking dumbass friends.
A neutral third party. Yeah. Not four of your like frat guy friends.
Let's bring in four fucking idiots in here.
Literally. Sheena says that she hopes that at the end of this, he knows that he has a really good support system in LA and that he doesn't have to run home back to Azusa to like get support. And it's like, oh, but he does.
He does.
Oh, but he does. Then he arrives. Shay arrives. He hugs everybody.
He's wearing sari.
He's wearing a snapback.
That is in the font of Hermes, but of course it says homies.
Homies. It says homies. So he's wearing that. I can't imagine picking that out for like seeing your wife for the first time in a week, but whatever. He loves that hat, I guess.
It's on my Omi's hat.
Yeah. He walks in. Everybody stands up, gives him a hug. Sheena stays seated on the couch.
Yes.
He's hugging everybody and he is immediately crying so much. And it is really sad. It made me sad and it made me feel really bad for him. And everybody started crying.
Yep. Yes.
And Schwartz is like, what's going on, buddy? Like,
well, because then he and Sheena start hugging and they both basically start sobbing.
Yeah. And they're hugging for like 2 whole minutes. And then everybody is like
watching them, and not the women, but the men also start to cry.
The men start to cry. Yeah. The men do start to cry. And Schwartz is like, you're making us cry, buddy. What's going on?
It's like, you know what's going on.
But he doesn't. But they don't.
Despite being told they don't believe it.
No, they don't.
It's like, why not?
Shay tells him that he's been home staying with his parents and he's been going through a lot of stuff personally. And that basically he just ran away.
Yeah.
Tom Sandoval is like, but do you get my text? And he's like, yeah, so I've gotten everybody's messages.
I was going through something.
But I had to cut everybody off. And Schwartz, in a way that was nice, was like, hey, buddy, like, you don't need to explain yourself with literally that. It's like totally fine. We just want you to know that, like, we're here for you.
I wish I could read the text that Sandoval had been sending him.
Me too. And I know he was sending him like fucking paragraphs as well.
Videos of him crying.
Yeah. Yes. Vlogs. Being like, where are you? We miss you. Literally. It's like you haven't seen him in 2 months.
I know.
Sandoval then says to him, Shay, I'm asking you, did you feel like you were addicted to pills? Or like, if you didn't have those pills, like, did you feel withdrawal symptoms? And Shay nods. And Sandoval goes, you did? Holy shit.
I know. They literally can't believe it.
They can't believe it. He goes,
it's so crazy that they can't believe it. It's like, he's addicted to pills.
And he goes,
he's been taking them for years.
He goes, I was taking like on average 5 a day. The most I ever took was 10 a day. And Sandoval goes, what?
I know. It's so funny. It's literally so funny. funny. And it's funny because it also, I think part of it reveals that they all do pills, but yes, that they're shocked that he was taking 5 to 10 a day.
I know. They're like, wait, but we only take like 1 or 2 a day.
I know. Well, it's because they all do the thing that Sheena literally was talking about, which is they will just like take pills and then drink.
Yeah.
But they're not like, I don't think they're doing them every day, obviously. No, no, no.
They take pills to party. He takes them to get through the day. Yes. And they're like really dumbfounded by that. And he goes, yeah, and I've been on the pills ever since I've known you guys. They go, oh my God.
Girl, think about his demeanor.
He hasn't spoken more than 2 sentences strung together the entire time that the show's been on. And you've known him since before that.
It's so crazy. And it's just like also the fact that it's because like the thing that we've talked about before, which is like it would be impossible for them to reckon with the fact that they're addicts, which they are, because they're you're addicted to binge drinking.
Yes.
But like because their idea of an addict is someone who literally is like addicted to pills doing them every day. So then when they know someone who's actually doing that, they're like, oh, that's really bad.
Yeah, that's really bad. And then he's like having this emotional moment where he's like telling everybody and they're all like freaking out. And Sheena's like, instead of paying bills some months, he would just buy the pills. And it's like, wait, cool it on that for a second.
I know.
Let's not get into that right now.
I know.
Let's not like throw caustic accusations at him.
I know.
While he's like admitting for the first time that he's addicted to pills, which is like the first step to getting better, but whatever.
Yes.
Schwartz was like, I didn't even realize that he had an addiction. It's like, I don't know. Maybe this is when he's like, I don't know. Maybe we just like, now that we're in our 30s, we can't be acting like we were in our 20s. It's like, now that we're in our 30s, we can't be pill addicts. But back then it was totally fine. Yeah,
it's like, no, no,
no,
no,
no, no.
It's so wrong.
Oh my God. Sheena says that she didn't know that she married an addict and she would have tried to help him if she knew. And she's like, you're miserable with me. And he's like, I'm not miserable with you.
It's not the point right now.
It's not you. Like, I love you, whatever. And she goes, I've been so miserable and lonely this past week. And he goes, I've been so miserable and lonely for 2 years, which is so true.
I know.
Unfair of her.
I know.
This week was really hard for me. And it's like, he has been struggling with addiction silently, but pretty out in the open
for two years.
And you haven't even thought to say a word about it.
I know.
And then she gets on her rampage where she's sobbing and saying, why did you marry me? Like, why? Yes. Do you regret marrying me? And everybody in the room is like, Sheena, stop. Sheena, stop.
Stop it. Stop. Like, literally, you have to stop.
You have to stop.
It's like Ariana basically says it later, which is that like it's not just on Sheena to like get him to say like to tell the truth. Like, of course he should have been telling the truth, but it is like in this moment right now, you just like can't make it about yourself.
No.
Like that is something we can do later, is like talk about you and stuff. But especially if you know like he is someone who really struggles to like communicate, you kind of just have to like sit there and give him the space to like say his piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can maybe get to you later.
Well, that is like why they do need other people there for this conversation. But obviously it shouldn't be those people.
Of course.
It should be somebody who's like better trained. Yes. Because they wouldn't be being like, Sheena, stop.
I know.
Shay then says he was like, see, I'm glad that everybody's here because it's really hard to have one-on-one conversations with you because you intimidate me and you talk over me.
Oh my God. It's like their marriage. Why are you married to someone you are intimidated by?
I know.
Why are you guys married if you feel that it's easier to have conversations in with each group. Other when there's four other fucking idiots there?
Yeah, I know.
Like, oh my God.
I know.
It's literally so crazy that they're married.
I know. And then
that they've been together for a while, because it is just
they've been together for a long time.
So like none of this has ever come up.
I think I don't know. Katie is like, Sheena, like you really need to take that to heart, him saying that. Because it is like definitely their whole relationship. She's been talking, and he has been sitting there like fuming.
I know. It's exactly what Ariana says, though, which is that like Sheena needs to learn to listen and he needs to learn to speak up.
Yeah,
like, it's
exactly.
Like, it's not like I'm just like, it's obviously not completely Sheena's fault, but it is like you do need to like be able to listen to him. And girl, Shay, you also need to be able to just like speak how you're feeling.
I know, because also to be like intimidated by her doesn't quite make sense, because it's like, interrupt her. Nothing's going to happen.
I know. She's not scary. She's just talking.
She's just talking. She's just a fucking talker. She talks literally so much, and you've always known that about her.
I know. It's just so crazy that they've been together for so long. And it's like, how have we never talked? I understand that what they're saying, the whole thing is that like they just don't talk about their issues, but it is just like so crazy to get married.
I know.
Like, you can totally be in a relationship where you're like, damn, we are not talking about the shit that we're talking about. But the end result of that should be that you kind of have a huge blowout and then y'all break up.
Yes.
The end result should not be that you just like get married.
Or like you can have a huge blowout and then choose to try and work on it, but you should not be getting married.
Totally. It's so crazy.
Then Shay says that he doesn't regret marrying her and that he got his mind completely right in Azusa.
It's impossible. You've been addicted to pills for years and you went home for 1 week.
I No.
The way they literally, the narrative right now is like, he's fixed.
He's fixed. I know. It's you have been heavily using pills for, at this point, at least 2 years.
Definitely longer than that.
Definitely longer than that. I don't believe, I don't believe that he's not taking pills right now.
No, but then he does the drug test, so maybe he's not.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I know it's really hard for me to believe because I just am like, how the fuck did you go off of pills that you've been dependent on for years? How are you off of them in a week?
And he says that he was experiencing withdrawals without them. So it's like, did you go through withdrawals at home in Azusa?
Presumably, yes, if what he's saying is true. I know it's like impossible for me to believe.
But he says he wants to come home and he says he knows that there's a lot of things that they need to work on together.
I know.
And then Sheena is like, okay, you just need to speak up and cut me off when I'm talking because you're so like polite and quiet and I'll just like talk forever and ever and ever and ever. And if you don't cut me off, blah, 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 blah. And then everybody is like, see, that's the time when you should talk her off. And it's like, yes, but Sheena, also you need to work on talking less.
I know. It's so crazy. They literally are like people who've been dating for 6 months.
I know.
And they're married and have been together for years.
These are fundamental communication differences and issues in your relationship. You've been together for years. I can't believe it hasn't come up.
Okay.
I think also like, sorry, but he is like waning, like the pill use is kind of, he's cutting down. And so now he's like less lethargic and apathetic about the fact that he's like constantly getting talked over. So now he's like, okay, I'm going to bring it up. But for the past couple of years, I'm sure he was just like literally so depressed and in a haze that he's like, I don't fucking care. I'm not going to speak up. Why would I?
I mean, yeah, you're just like literally barred out also. Yeah. Like you're just like legit like disassociated and stuff. Crazy. Now we're at Pump. Jax and Brittany show up to talk to Lisa. She is unfortunately wearing another romper, but this one has less of a plunging V.
Yes, it does. Doesn't change the fact that Lisa hates it.
No, which I just can't get over because it literally is like straight up the shit that she makes the girls wear, but whatever.
Yeah.
They get there and Lisa's like, where's your resume? Because you didn't have one last time. And Brittany's like, dang it, I just didn't bring that.
She goes, oof, I should have brought that.
Girl.
Yeah, you should have.
First time it wasn't really your fault. This time I am like, why didn't you bring your resume?
Yeah.
Jackson talking head is like, well, her looks are her resume. And it's like, not to Lisa.
No, not to Lisa. Not to any job.
No. And then this is when Brittany basically reveals that the last service place that she worked at was Hooters. And Jack is like, why did you say that? Why did you tell her that? And she's like, I have to be honest. She asked me what. I'm not going to lie.
I know. He like puts his head in his hands and goes, why did you say that?
Literally.
And it's like, as if you haven't told everybody that already, Jax.
Yes.
Come on. You love that about her.
I'm like, obviously Lisa's going to have a problem with it because she's like a misogynist slut shamer. But it is like, dude, working at Hooters would be so fucking hard.
I know. And it's also
awful and like not necessarily that different from working from Sir once
again. Well, I was just going to say, it's like practically the same job. You're wearing less clothes at Sir than you are at Hooters.
Literally.
Because at Hooters, they make you wear tights.
I know. And so that's like Lisa's like, why do they call it Hooters? And she's like, because you wear that little outfit. And like Lisa's like, whatever, smug about it. But as you said, it's like, you also make them wear little outfits.
You put them in the tiniest outfits of all time.
How can you not understand that you're literally, this is Hooters. We're in West Hollywood Hooters right now.
Yeah, literally. And it's like, the outfits that you're putting the girls in are literally not food safe.
I know.
Hooters is like a big corporation and they have rules to follow and you don't have any of those.
Literally. Basically, Lisa, first of all, Brittany looks stunning.
Yeah, she does.
And basically, Lisa is like, I'm sorry, but this just won't work out because you guys are together. And like, I just can't have a couple working for me. I like don't give a shit, whatever. It's like, that's a lie, but okay.
Yeah.
And Jack is like, well, can't she work at another restaurant? And Lisa's like, no, she can't. She literally can't.
She can't. She won't.
And Brittany basically is like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
I don't know how badly Brittany even wanted that job.
Well, I don't think she wants it that bad. It's like mostly a plot point. It is like, if she really needs a job at a restaurant, she can get another one.
She can get another one.
It's okay.
And she will eventually work at Sir.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We're back to Sheena's apartment. Sheena and Shay's apartment.
My God. I have some shit to say.
About this scene?
Yes.
They're making lunch together. They're ripping up lettuce with their hands. And then they are drinking Capri Suns on their couch. I think
the salad that they made is watermelon, romaine, and feta.
I think that it is as well.
With Capri Suns.
Yeah, with Capri Suns. They are sitting on the couch because they don't have a dining room table. So they have like TV dinner trays.
This is what I have to say.
Sheena says she can't wait to have a house with a dining room and dining room table and chairs.
You have a huge living room with three couches in it.
You have three couches. You have three full couches. Get rid of one of the couches and put a table in.
You don't need a separate dining table or dining room.
No.
There's more than it's literally like a room the size that we're in right now. Like, why do you have three couches and no dining table?
I don't
the way that I was like, shut the fuck up.
Especially like, okay, you're upset about the fact that you can't eat at a table. You can.
Get one.
And also you've done like so much to that apartment already. It's like, okay, so change it around a little. Get a dining room table.
It's so crazy.
You fucking painted the walls.
Why do they all have like a billion busted ass couches and nowhere to sit to eat?
Dude, I don't know. Every one of their apartments is like that. My only Sandoval has a table.
For like parties. But it's like, you're not even like having parties that often.
But also a table would be nice for a party so you can play your party games like beer pong and flip cup
and
whatever.
Totally.
So yeah, they're having their lunch, whatever. Sheena asked Jay what he was up to at home, which is like a crazy thing. What were you up to at home? It's like, detoxing. Oh my God, detoxing. Yeah. He said he was spending time with his family and all of the people who make him the most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And Sheena says, that should be me.
Okay. Girl, didn't we just talk about trying not to interrupt?
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, okay, but we're really going through something right now, us two. So it's not going to be you because we're fighting. Sheena is like, well, you should have just stayed and then we work through it. Like, that's what you do. Like, you stay here and we work through it. And he literally holds up his finger and waves it back and forth. And he says, you don't understand. You are not easy to work things out with. Which is like the sassiest I've ever seen him. And then I was like, okay, so
getting his life, some of his life.
I know.
Back.
I was like, you're fun. You're kind of fun. I'm sad for you, but I'm happy that it's coming back. And then again, she kind of like talks over him and he can't really like get a word in. And so like that is obviously why he left. But then he says the guy he used to be, the guy who was drinking and taking the pills, he's gone. He never wants to see him again.
It's been a week.
It has been one.
It's been 1 week.
Week. And you've been taking these pills for years.
I actually can't believe it.
It's so...
I literally can't believe it.
Crazy. He's like, that's not me anymore. I've beat this addiction. And then Sheena is like, well, it's fine to drink when there's an occasion or we're having fun.
So this is where the narrative, the horrible narrative begins, where Sheena's like...
She says... she's like, I'm not saying like, oh, you need to be clean and sober. You never have to drink again. You just have to find the happy medium. That's all I'm saying.
Because she doesn't think that she could be with someone who's sober.
She could never be with someone who's
doesn't
completely
make sense
sober
for her lifestyle.
She says he needs to learn to sip. He doesn't need to drink to get drunk. Sheena.
Drink to get a good buzz. And it's like, Sheena. You guys having a good buzz means that you're on the verge of blacking out.
I know. And like, Sheena, he's an addict. Sheena.
I know.
Sheena. And he's really trying to get
and
better.
Don't you understand that when he drinks, he probably wants to do the pills way worse than when he doesn't drink?
Of course. My God. And the drinking spiraled him into this insane depression.
I know.
It's like, why would you even think about adding that back into his life? The thing that made him
so
sick.
It's been 1 week. 1 week.
Oh, my God.
Not even being like, in a year, you can see if you can drink.
No.
1 week.
Being like, you could drink tonight, right now, as long as you don't overdo it.
Girl.
Come the fuck on, Sheena.
Come on.
And then she pulls out a fucking drug test. And it's like, I'm just going to like, I said I was going to do it, so I'm going to do it. And she gives it to him. She says, if it tests positive for marijuana, I'm going to give you a pass.
Me.
I know, which is like, I like that.
Maybe I know. I am like, literally agree.
And then he goes to the bathroom. He says he's going to drain the lizard.
Yep. Okay. So then we're at pump. Sheena meets with Lisa. She tells her that she's doing better emotionally and that she and Shay had a breakthrough conversation and that it is putting them on the right path. And Lisa's like, okay, so he has been using pills for 8 years.
Boom.
Literally, oh my God. Boom.
Boom.
What now? Yeah. What the fuck?
Oh my God.
Actually crazy. She's like, so it just might take more than one conversation.
Right.
Sheena's like, I know. Lisa's like, he needs help. And Sheena's like, he does not need rehab. Girl, I beg to fucking differ.
Desperately, he needs rehab.
Yes. It's like, he obviously needs therapy. Like, he obviously needs, like...
He hasn't talked in 2 years.
I know.
He needs to go to rehab and he needs to go to therapy.
Yes. It's like, so there's something going on.
He has a lot of shit to work through.
Yes. Sheena's like, he doesn't need rehab. It's not like he was taking 10 or 15 pills a day. He was just taking 2 or 5 and sometimes he was taking 10.
It was so crazy. The last scene he said, I took 10 a day. And she's like, it's not like he takes 10 a day.
And it's like, you know that when he's saying I take 5 a day, he takes like 10 a day. Like, I'm sorry, but you just know that that's true.
Yeah. Also, he was disappearing for like days at a time.
Literally. And Lisa's like, okay, so how do you know that he's not lying to you? And she's like, well, I make him piss in a cup. Which I actually understand. Because...
Well, of course.
But it doesn't make sense with that. It only doesn't make sense with the rest of how Sheena's acting. No, it does make sense in terms of he literally has been sober 1 week.
1 week. I understand drug testing him more or less like after he's gotten the help that he needs.
Or to, like, as he's getting the help.
To like keep him on the right track.
Yes.
But that can't be your only.
No. Well, I just understand if you're like, I unfortunately just can't. have you like using in the house or whatever, if like that's your boundary, whether or not that's like whatever, then I get it. But it's like, that's just so not what she's doing.
No.
She literally is just like, the solution here is that you just don't take pills and like, we don't need to do any other work.
No. Yeah. You interrupt me when I'm talking too much and stop taking the pills and then we'll be fine.
Literally. In the talking head, Lisa is like, this is not normal. Yeah. Like, Sheena is not a nurse and she's not an addiction specialist. And she warns Sheena that she shouldn't be sweeping things under the rug and that she needs to shove her foot up his ass. Sheena promises that he will. She will.
Yeah. She says, it's really far up there already. Don't worry. Oh my God.
And that's the episode. Do you have a hero and a villain?
My hero is Shay.
Mm-hmm.
For trying. For trying.
Yes. Yes.
My villain. I'm sorry. I think my villain is Sheena. For saying that he can drink.
I know. My villain is also James, but it is horrible when Sheena's.
Oh my God. I literally forgot about James.
I know. Well, there was a lot packed into this episode.
My hero is obviously James. My villain is obviously James Villa. Like through and through. My villain.
Yes. Yes. But it is villainous when Sheena's on her shit about how he can drink and like have... It's just crazy. And how she's like, I just couldn't be with someone sober. Why not?
Why not? Also, like that's the man you love that you married.
I know. And it's also like, what you mean is that you just want someone that like parties with you. And it's like, a sober person can still do that and like be down to go out with you and have fun.
And also like, you're letting him smoke weed. So like, why don't you just let him smoke and go out?
Literally.
But then it's going to turn into a James thing when he was like chugging those like canna drinks.
I know. Okay, y'all, I have to go to the doctor.
Doctor.
Love you.
Bye, guys.